Yamada Hashif, hello, how are you? My name's Brad Reed. Welcome to Trad with Brad, and with me is...
Heather Hines, happy to be here.
Cousin Heather. This episode is for Joe McMaster. Joe is a great fiddler. He even plays the bagpipes, and I met up with him in Troy, Cape Breton, with his dog panting away. It was a hot day, but it was fun. So Joe plays all over Cape Breton, and it's great to meet up with him. Heather, anything stick out?
Well, if you're wondering if he comes from that McMaster family, then you'll just have to listen and find out.
But oh, all right.
Could be.
Okay, please enjoy Joe McMaster. All right, we're rolling.
Great.
Wow, warm day today.
Very much so. I'm looking at the thermometer, 30. Side 29 in the house.
Saw you at Big Pond concert yesterday. That concert's been going for, what did they say, something like 60 years or something?
Yeah, 60 some years at least. I think it was 62, but I stand to be corrected.
And then they had to take it indoors at some point.
Yeah,
or they only did the indoors.
2006 or something like that. Again, yeah, my figures are uncertain, but it was, yeah, early 2000s or mid 2000s.
Yeah, and then I think it was last year they started again with the outdoor one. Mm-hmm. So this would have been the second outdoor, but the weather wasn't cooperating, I guess. Yeah. So anyway, it was a good concert.
Yeah.
So Joe McMaster, one thing I know is I think you were at university with my cousin Luke. Did you know him? Luke Dignan?
Is he? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I do remember knowing that you were cousins.
Yeah, because yeah. I remember he was, maybe it was at the chapel choir or something like that.
He played the piano.
He played piano, yeah. And then he found out that you played fiddle, and he loves playing piano to fiddle tunes. And
yeah, and so, I was like, where'd you learn that? And he says, oh, I have a cousin who plays Brad Reed. And I said, oh, really? I know of that guy.
Yeah, so you must have been playing fiddle for a while at that point. How did you get into the fiddle? I mean, I know it's in your family, but what about your immediate family?
Yeah, good question. I had only been playing maybe 2 or 3 years at that point, if I do the math. I started when I was in grade 10, so I was 15 years old. That would have been September of 2014. That's when I first like seriously picked up the fiddle, and the way it kind of got started was that I was in the grade 10 music class, and Stephanie McDonald was the teacher, and
oh yeah.
There were something to the effect of 23 students, but only 22 fiddles. And so, you know, she sort of had a look around the classroom and she said, Joe, you, out of anyone here, you must have a fiddle at home. And I was like, yeah, I do. Actually, my dad has a fiddle. So it was just this kind of cheap old fiddle that I knew was kicking around. He had it here. And so I started bringing it to school for the music class. And we learned whatever things we learned in that class, but I kind of just didn't stop. I started trying to learn tunes because I was playing the pipes at that point.
So oh, you did pipes first?
I started in 2013 on the pipes. And
so how old were you at that point on the pipes?
Yeah, I was 13 years old. It was one of the March break sessions at the Gala College. I was 13, and Kenneth, I took piping. I was interested in it, and Kenneth McKenzie teaching, and he found my mother and he said, make sure he keeps taking lessons. So I did. I had my door into the music at that point, and I was listening to fiddle music all the time just because there was so much fiddle music around the house in terms of CDs. Like there was a big drawer full of fiddle CDs. So I'd just be taking them every time we'd be in the car, and I'd be firing these things on and listening to music all the time. And it eventually inspired me to start playing the fiddle because there's a limited range of notes on the pipes.
Yeah.
And I'd be hearing these tunes like, oh, that's a good tune, but I can't play it on the pipes. So I started playing the fiddle on top of the pipes, yeah.
And so you had the fiddle in the house. Does your dad play fiddle?
He can, actually, yeah.
Yeah?
It's very rare to see him play. I'll see him pick up the fiddle once every, like, 6 months. He plays guitar more often, and he has played the fiddle in public in the past, but it's a very, very rare sight. And so he taught me one tune. He taught me how to play Tamaracker Down, because that was like one of the few tunes he knew how to play. And anyways, that's how I got my start, was, you know, between him and Stephanie McDonald's music class and Kyle McDonald that taught me a tune at the Gala College as well that past March break. So from there, I just went with it, I guess.
So obviously your aunt is Natalie McMaster, mm-hmm. right? So you must have, there must have been a lot of, you know, musical gatherings, I imagine.
I suppose, yeah. It's, I have a few vivid memories of those in the past. Like, so my grandparents just lived down the road here, and they used to have really legendary house parties. And Natalie would, of course, bring, well, she'd bring the Leahys with her after she, you know, was with Danelle. So, you know, there'd be house parties where it would be like all of the Leahys, and Mark O'Connor was at a few, and really, really big names in the music world would land at my grandparents' house. And as a kid, I have memories of these, but I was too young to appreciate it. And I even have this vivid memory of being around 8 years old. And it was just one afternoon in the summer, standing in one room, and I heard my grandmother say to Natalie in the other room, "Natalie, play that tune, The Fly in the Pudding." And I vividly remember thinking, how can she tell the difference between all these tunes? They all sound exactly the same. How would she tell one from the other? And that was
before you were playing.
Yeah, way before.
Jeez.
And so I never would have thought in those days that I would end up being a fiddle player myself. I saw Donna Margie Beaton playing at this house party in Port Hood, and just being really sort of mystified by the fiddle. Like, it was, I had no idea how it worked. It was such a mystery to me. I had no idea how to play this instrument, like even in the slightest. And then it was like within a year of that, I ended up starting to play. So, yeah.
Hmm. So you recently have a CD out, I guess, mm-hmm. last year, right?
Yep.
And you're playing around Cape Breton. Do you have a favorite place or situation to play in and around?
Yeah, I'd say like dance halls for sure.
Yeah.
I'm never more comfortable than in like a flimsy plastic chair in a hot dance hall with an acoustic piano. There's something about that, even though
I like the acoustics,
yeah,
too.
It's exactly, yeah. It's hard to get everything perfect in there, but I find I just play at my best in those scenarios. Like if things are too controlled almost, I found it more difficult to play. And there's settings I've played in a lot consistently that I found more difficult than a dance hall. And I don't know, maybe the heat helps, like your muscles are looser.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always find that when you've got all this other stuff happening and it's just like it's all together, it's almost like you're not as exposed. You don't feel like you're under the microscope, you know?
Yeah.
And I think maybe that.
the other thing I find too is playing unplugged as well. At a house party, I'm partial to the tone of an instrument just unplugged, acoustic.
Yeah.
And I find even when everyone's listening to you and you are kind of exposed, something about that setting as well, I find brings the best out of me. So like house parties and dance halls, which I suppose is in pretty close keeping with our tradition.
Yeah. Well, speaking of acoustic, let's try and play a few tunes here.
Do we have anything?
Sure, yeah. I remember we ended up playing a few jigs at the Red Shoe a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
We both knew, so I'll see if I can. Thank you.
Where'd you go to high school again?
Dalbury. I went to Mabu.
Right. Okay.
Maybe I should have said Mabu. I went to Dalbury. Yeah. So it's 45 minutes north of here. The Port Oxbury school is closer, but I ended up going to Dalbury and Mabu.
Well, that's good because that's where Stephanie teaches, and that's kind of like was a boost to your
who knows, yeah,
your fiddle playing.
I was definitely very into my Scottish culture as a kid, and so that was more front and center in a high school in Mabu. So I'm very glad that I went there. You know, even things like we went to a trip to Scotland. They had Gaelic you could take as a class there, and it was very conducive to someone who's interested in their Scottish heritage in this part of Cape Breton for sure.
Yeah, great. So then you went to St. Evex. I went to St. Evex too. I went there because really I guess a couple of reasons. A lot of my family went there, so it was kind of like growing up, it was like the place to go.
Yeah.
They also had a good music program, so I was playing the saxophone a lot at the time, and I still do, but so I personally, I was like looking at going into med school. So I went to St. Evex to take sciences with music kind of on the side, ended up switching it, doing music with some sciences because that's kind of, you know, what they do there. They have a good music program and I was kind of into it. So that's what I did. And why did you end up going to?
Well, I sort of had a similar desire to go into a medical field. It started out as I wanted to go into dental school, so I went and I took science at St. Evex. And I went to St. Evex because it was closest and cheapest.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm not going to go to Dalhousie or do something. There's one right here, right in front of me. I'm going to go to that. And not only that, I mean, that was a huge factor. But, you know, there again, the cultural aspect, it is in the hub of sort of my world, I guess, in the musical sense. So, yeah I went and ended up graduating.
The Highland Heart of Nova Scotia, they call it.
Yes, yeah. Or tartan tomfoolery. Maybe I shouldn't say that on the podcast.
No, you can say anything.
But, I ended up finishing with a major in biology and a bachelor of science with a major in biology and a minor in philosophy. Funny enough.
Yeah, philosophy. So you're currently in the... What do you call it? Seminary?
Seminary, yeah.
Right. Do you know when you had that kind of...
I could give an hour-long podcast on that
one. Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In keeping that concise, I guess, in a sense, always had that call and desire, but realized it and accepted it in my second year of university.
So the only teeth you'll be pulling is getting people to listen to your sermon.
Perhaps. Getting them into the confessional, who knows?
Okay, yeah, so you did St. Evex, and then did you go right into... Where are you studying for the seminary?
Yeah, so that's in Scarborough in Toronto.
Okay.
So it's St. Augustine Seminary, east of downtown Toronto, for those who don't know. And I live in a building. Like, the seminary itself is a building and house of formation and education, but... Certain days out of the week, I'll take the subway downtown and take classes at U of T.
So, okay, yeah.
Like Tuesdays, Thursdays, U of T, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, in-house. So,
do you ever make it out to any sessions in Toronto?
Yeah, I have actually. I don't have a lot of time to do it, but the odd time, like if it's a reading week or if I have a free weekend, there's Dan McDonald has sessions at Noonan's Pub. And so I've gone to a couple of those and they're great. And it's funny how quick you know, I knew him from before. So normally I'd feel really awkward walking into a session where I didn't know anybody, but I walked in and he saw me and I saw him and we both knew exactly who each other was. And it was like, hey, Joe. I was like, hey, Dan. So it was, it was great. You know, it worked out and I was welcomed in very generously. And so, yeah, I had a great few sessions there.
And do they play a lot of Cape Breton tunes there, or is it Irish or a mix? Or
when Dan is leading the session, it's a good number of Cape Breton tunes. And he'll graciously say, Joe, play a blast. And I know is Cape Breton tunes. And I join in on a few of the Irish tunes when I know them and try and not be an overbearing presence or anything, especially if it's an Irish session. I'm content to just sit there and listen to the Irish tunes and play the ones I know because nobody likes someone from a different tradition coming in and imposing their style on your session. So I try and always keep that in mind. You can't just walk in and play your Cape Breton stuff at an Irish session. But
yeah.
But what I'll mention, what's been really great is mentioned. So Natalie is my aunt, and she lives about an hour and a half away from where I am in Toronto.
Okay.
So I went for most of my life seeing her and Danelle and all my cousins like once a year in the summer. And now I get to see them, you know, a few times a month whenever I can drive up there for an afternoon and back and have a tune. And on the free weekends, I'll stay there. And it's a really cool time in that regard to, you know, spend time with my family that I don't see very often. And there's always music. There's always music when we go. Like one day, Tim Eady was there for the weekend and we had a concert with Tim Eady. we'll put on a dance. It's always great.
Well, I see their posts on, you know, Facebook and Instagram and stuff, and it looks like a musical place, that's for sure.
Oh yeah,
like the whole family plays and is involved. I mean, even the shows, right? They're pretty much all, when they do a show, it's pretty much the whole family.
Yeah, and yet at the same, it's this beautiful beautiful balance where they're all extremely musical, but if you didn't care about music, they'd just be like an ordinary farm family.
Oh yeah,
like, you know, they're going out and they're tending to the cows at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning or way earlier, and all the kids pitch in with that, and they're cooking meals and, you know, making sure the kids are getting to school and all that type of thing. So on top of being this, you know, really well-known musical family, they're just a really normal, amazing family. So it's great to hang out with them.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. Last year, I think it was, or sometime, Natalie and Danelle put out a call for people to write the second half of a tune.
Yeah.
You remember that? And so I did that, and they didn't pick mine, but mine was like, I don't know, a finalist or something. Yeah. So they posted it on the website. So I'm like, yeah, my video's on their website. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a cool thing. I think it was Kyle Bergout.
Yeah. Yeah.
It. So yeah. So it was cool hearing his side of that story. I got to.
Did you see him? He was here a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and so we ended up playing a square set together in West Mabu. And so him and Jane Corey and myself and Mac Moran and a trio of fiddlers and a piano player. Don't do that very often. It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. So yeah. I kind of got some of those stories then.
When you mentioned earlier about like there being fiddle CDs and stuff around, and you'd always be listening to them. I would think that, you know, some of your big influences would be like Natalie, Buddy.
Yeah, the two biggest for sure, right there. But yeah.
But is there, who else did you listen to, or who else do you think were your influences?
I can kind of give it chronologically. Like, so the first CD I really paid attention to was Natalie's Cape Breton Girl, because it had only come out a few years prior, and my dad's on that CD, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He's on the track called My Brother Kevin. Okay. That's him. And he's picking tunes on the Stratocaster.
Oh, yeah. I know that track. Yeah.
So that's him who you met earlier.
Okay. Didn't put it together.
Yeah, he was super nervous doing it. And he'd tell you that himself. He's he doesn't enjoy playing for people, but listen to it, you wouldn't think that.
No, that's cool.
So he was on a recording on a CD well before I ever was. Yeah, so that was a big one, and I credit that CD as being one of the reasons I started playing that, as well as Natalie and Buddy's CD. It's just traditional music from Cape Breton Island, and you can hear everybody sitting in the background hooting and hollering. That left a huge mark on me musically, just really inspired me. The classic Buddy and John Morris,
August on the Floor.
But the 1983, August 1983 Fire Hall recording.
Oh, okay.
So I got a copy of that when I was pretty young and listened to that every day. another one I just found it in the drawer here, and I didn't know what it was, but it was the Cape Breton Radio Live Take One, the purple one. And it had a whole compilation of fiddlers on it.
Yes.
So there's a bunch of people.
Like, I heard that when it actually went live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with like Andrea. It was in Andrea's trailer, right? Or something. Is that the one?
It was done in a bunch of. I don't have the whole story.
The first episode, I think it was recorded at Andrea Beaton's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a big Kinnan and Andrea set.
Yeah.
That was,
I could be wrong, but I think
another kind of seminal recording for me. And it introduced me to a wide variety of the different players on the island, people I never knew. So for a while, I could think of names like Kimberly Frazier and John Powerine, and who else was on there that I didn't know, Troy McGilvery, all these people who I'd seen them once or twice. A lot of them I had no idea who they were, what they looked like, how old they were.
Right.
They were just names and this music. So I knew them by their musical sound first. So my teenage years, it was really amazing to just get to meet all these people for the first time and then realize that they're also happy to meet you. So it was kind of like getting to meet your idols, but then they're also getting to be friends with your idols as well. So that was a really cool thing, because I'd listened to so many of the different players in Cape Breton. Like, I listened to their music a lot before I ever met them, and then it was like, wow, it's you. And then you end up being pals with these people later on. So yeah, that was really cool. And yeah, there's a bunch of different ones, but those ones are jumping to mind right now. Ken and Beaton's Ewan Dew and his Toonsmith CD were two of the ones I had first. I listened to
Ewan Dew is nice. Yeah, I really like that. I like that one in particular for like the sound of it. Like, he's got a really nice sound on that.
It's sweet.
Yeah,
yeah. I had that one listened. I was super excited to get it too, and I listened to it a lot. So those are just a few of a lot. And another one I have to mention, Howie McDonald's The Dance Last Night. Mm-hmm. I remember my grandmother gave it to me, and I'd heard lots about Howie. I'd never met him, and I listened to this, and I was like, what is this? This is just incredible.
Yeah, he always does some interesting things with his recordings. So
it's
really cool.
That's another guy it's been an honor to get to. Like, I had a gig on Saturday in Iona, and I was only asked a couple of days before, and I sent him a message, and he was like, yeah, sure. You know, that one day, you know, a guy I looked up to, and I guess still do, I absolutely still do, but that was on such a pedestal, and that I didn't know the guy, that one day we'd be doing a gig together, and he'd say, wow, I really enjoyed that.
So he played piano, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I never would have believed you if you've had told me that.
Yeah. Well, I had a kind of a similar experience, and this was last year at the Celtic Colors. I was backstage in the little green room, and I think it was after it had shut down at the festival club, and we were kind of jamming, and I ended up playing some tunes, and Howie came back and sat down at the piano, and then before I knew it, all these people wanted to do a square set, so all of a sudden I'm, you know, playing for a square set with Howie at the piano. I just thought that was fun, you know. Yeah. It's like, wow. Yeah. So that's really cool. And yeah, he's nice to share his own kind of love of the music too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was really cool. You know, we're both tune nerds, I guess. I consider myself a tune nerd, and he's like the king of them. And so just getting to pick his brain and go back and forth. Do you remember, you know this one? Like, well, here's one, and like the stuff that you don't hear a lot. And that was as much fun as playing, in a sense, just getting to kind of throw that stuff back and forth. It was great.
Let's try another few tunes.
Sure.
Thank you. So, what's the name of your album again?
It's just self-titled.
Self-titled, yeah. Are you selling it online or a few stores locally?
Yeah, at first glance, it would seem I am kind of a Luddite. Because I don't, it's not on Spotify, it's not on YouTube, it's not even on Bandcamp. It's physical copies exclusively at, you know, four or five places around the island. The Celtic Music Center being probably the only place that has them consistently. Anywhere that I'm playing as well. If you can find a way to get in contact with me, I can get you one. Eventually I'll put it on Bandcamp and maybe Spotify later, but I kind of had no idea what I was doing in terms of marketing. So,
right, yeah.
It's been fine.
It's a bit of a racket. Who plays on that one with you?
My cousin, Mary Frances Leahy. So it'd be Natalie's oldest daughter.
Plays piano.
Yeah. So, and then Elmer Ferrer, who engineered the album, he plays guitar on one track.
Okay.
Just a slow air.
And I know there's at least a few of your own tunes on there, right?
I think there's eight, to be exact.
Do you have many tunes? Or do you?
Oh, yeah. I probably composed like 150 tunes. Most of them would not be worth ever playing again. I recently stumbled. Someone played me some tunes I wrote back when I was a teenager, and I was like, oh, why would you ever play that? That's terrible. But there might be 20-odd tunes that I've composed that I actually like and that I play.
Yeah.
Sometimes I might just write out a tune, play it a couple of times, and say, no, that's no good, and then just never play it. But if I like it,
somebody else might like it. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? But then if someone else hears it, I'll be like, they'd be like, where'd that tune come from? And I'll be like, oh, don't ask me. I don't know.
Traditional.
Question mark. I don't know.
Ask Paul. Paul Cranford. Or Dave. Dave McIsaac. Dave McIsaac doesn't know it, it's not a real tune. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's. I'm not a consistent composer. I tried making a waltz the other day. Didn't go so well. Try again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I just saw this movie called The Banshees of Inisherin. Have you heard of that?
It's on my watch list. I've been meaning to watch it.
It's a wacky movie, but it's about a guy playing the fiddle, and one of the things in the movie is that he wants to compose a tune that will, so he can live on, like in the way Mozart, you know, did.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to compose this tune, but anyway, it's got all. I don't want to like ruin it or anything. There's all this other stuff in it, but it's worth watching.
It is on my list. I can't wait to watch it.
What about in the fall? So, what are your plans? You'll be back in.
I'll be back at St. Augustine's. Yeah.
Okay, so then you'll be back home probably for Christmas or something.
Yeah, I'll be back home for Christmas and then home again next summer. That'll kind of be the way of things for the next 4 years. And then I'll be, like, God willing, I'm ordained. I'll be back here for good. So where in...
Really? You can kind of choose to be somewhere?
Yeah, you choose what diocese you go in for. So, like, the guys from Toronto, they apply to be a seminarian for the Toronto Diocese, which means they'd be a priest for the Toronto Diocese. And so they're tied to that geographical area. Where inside you are is up to your bishop. So I will be somewhere east of Pictou. That much I'm guaranteed that I will be in the Diocese of Antigonish.
Right.
So, yeah, that's Pictou East extending to all Cape Breton. But where inside that, I go where my bishop tells me to go.
Yeah.
And so every 7 years I'll be moved probably. But I'll be around and do what the Lord wants of me.
Do you know Ray Huntley, Father Ray Huntley?
I know of him.
He is kind of a friend of the family, and he's been over to the house and plays piano. So he can get by according to the fiddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's a long standing tradition of very musical priests in this, like, in this part of the
Absolutely,
world.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like how many tunes are called Father Janangus Rankin's? He's got everything, jig, Strass, Bay, March, reel. And they're all really good, which is the other thing. He was really, really, like, he paid attention to tunes. He knew a lot about music, and he played the piano himself.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be possibly one of a long line of musical priests, perhaps.
The musical priest. That's a tune.
Yeah, it is. I should know it, eh? I don't know a lot
of B minor. I learned that one recently, actually. That's a, I think it's a three-part B minor tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, maybe, I don't know, we'll find another few tunes to play here, and then we'll call her a day.
Great.
Wait, what was our first one here? That was great. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for having me on.
And see you around and keep fiddling.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, we are here again. Welcome to the, I don't know what we're going to call it yet, the after the episode.
Debrief.
The debrief. Mm-hmm. Debrief, maybe. The keep you in the loop, the
chit chat,
follow up. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the simplest, the follow up.
Yep. I'm sure you'll come up with something.
Okay. So who are we following up today?
Well, I guess we'll talk about the Joe McMaster chat you had.
Joe.
Yeah.
That was
a good one. I really enjoyed so many things he said. It was great.
It was a funny day. I don't think I mentioned this in the episode, but when I went there to his house, his dad was out in the yard, and it was maybe the day after a big rainstorm, and there was a lot of cars in the driveway. So I was trying to find where I could park that I wouldn't be blocking other people. So I kind of like edged over onto the lawn a little bit, and his dad was outside, and I had my windows down, so it's not like, well, basically he came around and was kind of like hollering at me, and like, stop, you're on the lawn, which was funny because the windows were down and I could hear him perfectly well, but anyway, so I just moved back on the pavement and all was good. We made up later. He's a good guy.
I remember one of the first times I kind of heard Joe McMaster somewhere, like it must have been up here in Halifax. I don't think it was in Cape Breton. And I don't even remember if you were there or if I was talking to someone else about, like, who is that? And just where, you know, he has the same last name as Natalie, you sort of wonder, like, is he related to her? And someone said, yeah, that's her nephew. And so I do remember hearing from somebody about how, I think a lot of people who follow Cape Breton music seem to know a lot about Buddy and a lot about Natalie, but the fact that Natalie has, I think, two brothers, so one would be, you know, Joe's dad, and then I think she has another brother too. It was so interesting hearing how his upbringing would be so different from, like, Natalie's kids, you know, like, even though he did kind of mention, you know, being at a lot of house parties, but he said something in particular about, you know, watching someone play the fiddle and thinking, like, man, I can't even really figure out how that instrument works. I would just think, well, you know, haven't you seen one since you were born, basically? But, you know, just where he kind of started a little later. And
Natalie's family was already kind of moved away. Like, she didn't live around there when he was growing up.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be a whole lot older than his cousins, I don't think. You know, a little bit, but... some of his older cousins. And anyway, it was funny hearing him, like, you know, I mean, I know Stephanie McDonald too from St. Evax, so hearing that she did, like, that fiddle class in high school and looks around the room and thinks, okay, we have 22 fiddles and 23 people, like, you have one lying around. what a joy to be able to do kind of fiddle class in high school. That's pretty cool.
We didn't have it here. You can do regular kind of violin a bit.
Kids do that in the school board here. Yeah,
in the Halifax area.
Yeah, and it's after school actually. Like, it's completely free. The program is great, but they go two nights a week and do violin.
Great.
It's a little more classical type violin, but he's another person that obviously had a good connection to the Gaelic College. It sounds like he went to, like, a few of those summer sessions and met a lot of people and started the pipes there. And
yes, and kind piper of and fiddler.
Yeah. Which I don't think I knew that he played the pipes. I guess maybe just he doesn't publicly. I've only ever seen him play the fiddle, but
I have seen him play publicly. Yeah. I'm not sure how much he does these days, but I mean, they're a little bit trickier to maintain.
Yeah.
Or practice.
Yes, I guess so.
If you're traveling or whatever.
Yeah. I was also laughing, thinking of how he described, you know, just exposing himself to so much fiddle music. He would just go into the house and they had a whole drawer full of CDs. That's an experience I can remember too, like living at grandma and grandpa's house, and they just had this huge, like, drawer, and they were all ordered so nicely, and you could just, like, grab one, but you'd sort of want to put it back in the same spot.
Yeah. Like a little library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is so much of that music that I think you can only really get on CD, like he was saying that even about his own album, right? A lot of those, well, a lot of the older albums would only be on CD, so you can't just access them on Spotify or...
Oh yeah, definitely. If they're even on CDs, then some are only on vinyl, and then there's like all these house tapes going around that the only place to find a tune.
The way he was describing, you know, having listened to all these fiddlers quite a bit, you know, on those CDs in the car and stuff, and then kind of starting to play the fiddle himself and meeting them and having them be so excited to meet him too. Like, that's just another Cape Breton thing to me. Like, oh, great, we want to encourage you, you're learning. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Joe.
Yeah, but... I mean, who
no,
was encouraging?
No, so I think he... I can't remember who he specifically said, I want to say maybe like Kimberly Frazier or just a couple people that he would have met.
Other fiddlers.
Yeah. And he just said there were some fiddlers kind of from away, like maybe Troy McGilvery or someone like that, I think he mentioned, that he hadn't seen, you know, it wasn't like Natalie down the street or something like that. It was...
Okay.
And he'd just been listening to their CD a whole bunch and then finally met them at a concert or something like that. And
right.
And they were encouraging him. And
yeah,
he said it was just interesting how, and I mean, you kind of alluded to this too, how you can listen to someone's music for such a long time and then all of a sudden you're kind of playing at a session with them and it's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just sort
it's,
of.
It, yeah, it's just such a kind of approachable type of music when you're doing sessions like that.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and I remember having that experience once myself when you took me to a kind of house party, and one of the Bear McNeils was there, and
yeah,
it's like this is kind of crazy that it was like Boyd and Lisa, like I think it was at Gary Gallant's house, and
oh okay,
yeah, I was just like oh my gosh, but like this guy is in the Bear McNeils. But like also he's just a normal person who happens to play the fiddle.
Barry McNeil, yeah. Super fan. What? Yeah. Okay, if Taylor Swift fans are Swifties, what are Barry McNeil fans? Berries?
Berries. Yeah, that's probably about it. Yeah. And, interesting to hear how he went to St. Evax like we did and kind of changed, the path of his career a little bit there. I don't know if he actually graduated with Luke, or maybe he's a little younger than him.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But, we should text Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, let's ask him. I'm sure he's not busy at all.
He might not be. I'm going to text him right now.
Yeah. But it was funny. Yeah, I can just picture, Luke is so friendly and keen, our cousin, and where he would have found out that he played the fiddle. And he, like you said in the episode, he loves to play piano nonstop. Like,
yeah.
Those two cousins of ours love to play the piano.
Luke and Chris.
Chris, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're both extremely talented at it.
Okay, I just texted Luke. We'll see if he gets back in real time.
I'm sure he won't, but maybe.
Could have just texted Joe, probably. Mm-hmm. Oh, he might not know.
Yeah.
But Luke would likely know.
Yeah, but it was cool to hear how Joe is living in Ontario now and actually gets to see, Natalie's family a little more often than he would have. I just saw on Facebook this week that they kind of like rescued a bunny, her family. like their dog brought a bunny in the house, so they decided to kind of keep it as a pet. And she had a little video about that. So that was, I think that was just yesterday or the day before that.
Usually, I mean, I know that dogs sometimes sort of like to hunt, play with, tortured bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog probably like caught this bunny.
I think that's
and brought it home, and now they're going to keep it as a pet. Wouldn't that be just be cruel to the dog? Because like, here's our other pet now that you just want to eat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that would go over. Yeah. That's not how our dog would react to a bunny. She would just bark nonstop until the bunny left. So she's not a hunting dog, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, it was, it was good how you were asking Joe if he gets to very many sessions or anything in Ontario. And I'm sure just every time he goes to Natalie's, like that probably gives him a pretty good fix of some Cape Breton music.
Yeah. And I remember he talked about the bow and arrow or just the, maybe not the bow and arrow, but Toronto sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Which there must be quite a few of those. I don't know. Have you ever been to any in Ontario or not? So much.
Not in Toronto, but I have been in Ottawa, and that's the main one that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So little Irish pub called Daniel O'Connor's in Ottawa.
Yeah. And one kind of minor thing that you guys brought up, I think you recorded this the day after the Big Pond concert.
Right.
Is what you were saying. So maybe that's what you were saying with the grass being muddy and it had rained or something.
Yeah.
This was like Big Pond 2023, right?
Yes, that's right.
And I noticed you and Joe weren't quite sure how many years that concert had been going on for. So I was kind of curious and I looked it up. And apparently this year, 2024, is 60 years. So it started from just a couple of guys. I don't actually remember their names, but they just kind of started a small concert. And yeah, I mean, I think they've probably done it every year since. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And that's right next to, or kind of just down the road from East Bay, which is where our family comes from.
Yeah.
We'll probably mention this at some point, but we share grandparents. Mm-hmm. So my mom and your mom are sisters. Yep.
They're the oldest sisters of seven.
From East Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, that Big Pond concert is, I think it's like the same date every year or something, right? So I know people plan some of their travels around that.
Yeah.
Like end of July or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I think it's more closer to the beginning or the middle. Like, I probably actually have it.
Yeah, I only remember, I've only been once, and it was, I think it was July 30th or something like that, like right before the August long weekend. But maybe it's not the same time every year. I'm not sure.
This year, I'm pretty sure I have it in my calendar. So let me check. Or maybe not, because I think it's on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And when we say concert, too, it's basically the whole afternoon or something, too, right? It's not just like a couple of hours. Like, I sort of perceived it as being quite a big all-day type event.
Yeah. So this year it is the 21st of July.
Great.
Yeah. Big Pond concert, July 21st.
So that'll be a big one.
Another funny thing about when I went over to Joe's is he had at least one, maybe two dogs, and they were these kind of dogs, like maybe pugs, or no, it was like a Jack Russell Terrier or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, small dogs that, and it was a warm day, so they were like huffing and puffing, and they'd be coming around and drinking their water out of like the bowl of water was right beside us. So every now and then we'd have to pause and let the dog come in and go.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you should have included some of that.
Yeah,
everyone loves that sound. Yeah, I mean, he was saying how hot it was, and it was funny when he was talking to about his kind of favorite place to play, like a nice packed hot dance hall in the summer.
All right.
And how, I don't know if that would be everyone's favorite, but
well,
it does get pretty hot in those halls
in
the summer.
And so far, a few people that I've talked to, everyone seems to, I mean, yeah.
It's the tradition, right?
It does tend to be one of the highlights of it, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people seem to enjoy playing for a dance as opposed to, like, just really being on stage and, you know, having it focused on the music only.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very different experience, you know, performing versus maybe entertaining, I guess.
Yeah, and then you're part of, like, an event going on. So the dances are definitely fun.
Yeah, I was talking to someone at one of the Halifax Cape Breton dances up here. And they were saying the high school kids in Mabu. I mean, it's always kind of been this way, but that's just like a big thing to go to those West Mabu dances.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember exactly who I was talking to, but they were saying they felt like there had kind of been a resurgence even in these years, kind of like post-pandemic, where people, teenagers are really enjoying going back to those West Mabu dances because they're not 19 and up, right? I think it's all ages.
That's right,
West Mabu. So I can see that being a fun thing to do on a Saturday night.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and in the summer, they're just, the whole dance scene is even more.
Very lively.
Yeah, lively.
Yeah. Have to try and make it back sometime. Haven't been in a few years to West Mabu, but.
Oh, yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Is that it for Joe?
I think it is.
Okay, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I guess we'll wrap it up.
Sounds good.
Top a leave.